Kum learn a black Gemara. We are up to Daf Pei Amid Aleph. We're up to about 10 lines from the top. The first word of the line is Itmar. So we're discussing a case where half the people were Tanei and half the people were Torah, and we had three opinions between Rav and two views of Rav Kahana, how we understand that. And then we explained the three different brises, how it can be reconciled according to everybody except one brise, which definitely is an argument. Itmar we learned. Another case now about whether, if in the case of half and half, should we go ahead and ask someone to contaminate himself so that to become a majority, so all the people who are Tamei now will be the majority, and they can then, therefore, all bring it, the betuma. If you remember, we had an opinion of Rav Masya who said that you need a majority of two, not just a majority of one. Remember also, we had an opinion from Rabbi Yehuda. He says he doesn't like the idea that some of the people have two separate streams, those who are Torah and those who are Tamei, because by doing that, you're announcing to the world that there are a bunch of Talmudic people here. Otherwise, why aren't you joining together? And that in itself is not edifying for the Beis Hamikdash. Says the Eidim, we learned, Hoy Yisrael machzat Torah and machzat Tamei. The Eidim were half and half. Half they were Torah and half were Tamei. Omar Rav says, Rav, ideally the best thing to do is, because remember, according to Rav, each one is considered a majority, so they both bring the first Pesach. The majority of Torah they bring, obviously, and the Tamei, they're also considered like a majority, and therefore they bring also Pesach, but keep them separate. Or rather, ideally, mitamin echad mehen, go ahead, make one of them tamei b'sheretz. Now, if you make one of them tamei by touching a dead body, or touching a person who touched a dead body, you become tamei for seven, if you touch a dead body, you become tamei for 7 days. So therefore, you cannot participate in the current Pesach. So we say to them, let one person become tamei by touching a sheretz. Now, the laws of Tumah on Pesach, where we suspend, is if people were all Tumah from either a dead body or from a Sheretz. Other kinds of Tumah, let's say they were a Zov or whatever, other kinds of Tumah, we don't suspend the laws of Tumah. If everybody is Tumah Zov, having an emission, they'll have to wait till Pesach Sheni. The only time we suspend the laws of Tumah is if they became Tumah through touching a dead body or by touching Sheretz. Says the Gemara. What do you call it? Says the Gemara. Why? Nev the hani lechudayi v'hanu chadayu. Didn't the Rav say before that if it's exactly half and half, everyone brings it the first Pesach, they just have two separate streams? The Amar Rav said halolu oisin la'atzman v'halolu oisin la'atzman. Each one does their own carbon. Amri, we say, the first thing we're trying to answer, Hocham, you know, we're talking about the English, there was a majority of the Tameh by one. And therefore, if there's a majority of Tameh by one, if you already have a majority, of course they can remain. What do you have to add another person for? If so, have they ruba tamei, the majority of tamei. Now, avda kula betuma. Then you can join. You don't have to have any more two streams. When there's a majority, then everyone can behave as if they're tamei. You don't have to have two streams anymore. Why is he saying add one more person? Says the Gemara, because Rav holds. A majority of one is not enough. You need a majority of two. That's why he said, make one other person tummy. So you're telling the majority of one is treated like half and half. So the question is, why make anybody tummy? Let each group bring on their own. Each one have their own group. Let each one do their own thing. So the Gemara, this is what Rav meant to say. If there is a Tana out there, the Sovel on the one hand holds like the Tanakami. Remember, we had a Braisa that says clearly that if there's a half and half, each one's considered a majority, they both bring the first Pesach. Palga, loy avdi kula betumim. If Palga, you have two streams. Some do Torah and some do Tamei. And then the Sovel, look at Yehuda. If you happen to hold like Yehuda, Dhamma says, Ein korban tzibacholuk. On the other hand, you hold like Yehuda, I don't like the streaming business because then you're highlighting the fact that there's a whole group there of people who are Tamei, who are in the Beis Hamikdash. So what do you do then? The Tana Kama holds like Rav that you have to split, you know, halolu oisin la'atzra halolu. Each one does their own thing, but also like a Yehuda that we don't like to have this division. So what do you do then? is then the ideal thing is metamin echad b'sheretz. Make one person tamei with the sheretz, so now you have your majority of tamei, and there's no issues anymore. Everybody brings it together. No longer two groups. No streaming. So, and Ula says, I say the same thing. We need one more person, right? But instead of making one person tamei, ask one of the people who are tired to leave. So now the tamei are automatically a majority. Rather than going ahead and contaminating somebody, ask one of them to go away. If you're far away, it's all right. Send one of them away on a distant place. Send them far away. So therefore, now the Torah one less. And now the Torah less, your majority are tamei. Tez already asked, why don't Gemara say, let's send away one of the Tamadika people, so they'll become the minority, they'll go to Pesach Sheni, this way Pesach Rishon will be done properly, 100%. Why is Gemara asking, let's send away one of the Tehoirin, so the Tamei will be majority, rather than do the other way around? Tez wants to say, we always try to get everyone, the ideal situation is for everyone to bring Pesach Rishon. Therefore, if we can think of a way where everyone brings a Pesach Rishon, that is the ideal way. Anyway, so we have an argument. Rav says, make somebody tummy. Shmuel says, Ula says, just send somebody away from the Tehillim, so it may only be majority. Asking Mara Kontu, Ula, why don't we just be Tamenu B'Sheretz? Make somebody tummy with a Sheretz. Says Gemara, Ula says that's not a remedy. Because I hold, Ula says, when we had a discussion before in the Gemara, if you can be participating in the current Pesach, if you're Tamei Sheretz. Because remember, Tumah Sheretz expires at night. And at night, when the Mitzvah is the current Pesach, you could participate. So the question is, if you cannot participate at the time of the Shechita, but you could participate at the time of the eating, how do we view that? And there we had a machlekes. So Ula's of the opinion that this person can still participate in the Pesach. So we don't gain anything by making somebody Tamei because he's still considered tired. Because that night he'll be able to eat. That the Gemara be tamen b'sheretz. Somebody holds shechting the zayken on tamen b'sheretz. That we do accept somebody who's tamen b'sheretz to be part of the carbon. Says the Gemara be tamen b'meis. Okay, so do the stricter punish. Do the stricter to him. Make him tamen mace. So now tonight he'll still be tamen. He won't be able to participate. So now you have a majority of tamen. Says the Gemara because it's not fair then. Matcheyu atem chagigos. Not only does he lose out on the carbon Pesach, he loses out on the carbon chagiga, which is the following day. It's called chagigas tezvov. The first day Yom Tov, you have to bring chagiga. You lose out because 7 days you're tamei now. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? But you became tamei the day before Pesach. Your 7 days expire the sixth day of Pesach. So the seventh day of Pesach, you can still remember with the chagiga, can be you have a makeup the entire Pesach, so you can still bring it up on the last day of Pesach. What's the drama here? So we say over here, he's losing on Chagiga. So you want to ask a question. If you're worried about he's losing out of carbon, if you make him Tama, he can no longer be in the carbon Pesach. Because you're saying that what? That he's losing out of carbon Pesach as a Tardiga person. Says the Gemara, that's not a problem. Even when you make him Tama, he still has a possibility to make it up. On the second, on Pesach Sheni. But over here, the Karma Chagiga, he loses out. So we say, what do you mean? It's not me, Avshad Avid Bishri. Karma Chagiga also doesn't make up. Okay, he cannot bring it the first day of Pesach. You have 7 days to bring it. Your tumma expires after 6 days. The seventh day, you're free. Says the Gemara, the Havale Shmini Shaloi. Sorry, you can do the seventh day, have a Shmini Shaloi. He says 8 day. And says the Gemara, so Ulu holds, we're going to have a Mara Chagiga that I've tested, Machlekes, Rabbi Yechon, and Chiski of. When we say that you have a makeup, how do we understand it? Are kulon tashlumin derishin or tashlumin zelazeh? Which means, if the first day of Pesach somebody was limping, so he was exempt from going up to the base of Migdish, or the first day of Yom Tov, but the third day he was cured, does he still have to go up and bring a carbon? Do we say that the makeup is, the first day is the mitzvah, and the rest is only makeup? But if you were exempt the first day, there's nothing to make up. Or do we say, each day, if you didn't do the day before, there's a new chiv? So yesterday you didn't have to, but today you're able to, you have to. Says he, Ula holds, I hold that they're all a makeup of the first day. And says the first day he was tummy. That means he was exempt from being a karma chagiga. There's no makeup for him. So it's not fair for us to make him tummy and rob him from his opportunity to make a carbon. So therefore we make him a derech rechaika. So Ula holds, Kulish tashlum, the chazi berishin chazi b'kulo. If you're suitable for the first one, you're suitable for all. B'chol heicha the lechazi berishin. But if you're not suitable for the first one, then lechazi b'kulo, and you're not suitable for the rest either. Amalu. So we have a machleik. Interesting machleik, because Rav says it's better to make someone tamei, and Ula says it's better to ask someone to leave and go far away. Amal Nachman. Nachman said zilu go. Amalu tell Ula. Man tzayis. In theory, he might be right, but who is going to listen to Okar Sichei Mishkaneh? Sichei or Mishkaneh is going to take away his dwelling place and all the things that he used to build it, the Roit, and the runaway. Who is going to listen to him? Who traveled all the way Pesach to Yerushalayim, and then you tell him, okay, leave now. It's Erev Pesach, leave. Don't come back so fast. Who's going to listen to you and run away? Because there's two opinions. We'll see a number of opinions later. What's derech chaykev? Derech chaykev means outside the base of Midrash, or derech chaykev means, we already have before as well, derech chaykev means that you are at least 15 kilometers away. So if you're 15 kilometers away, you have to run. Because remember, we don't really realize the numbers until the morning of Erev Pesach, and we want you by Chatzais to be far away so you're exempt, right? We want you to be out of the numbers, so you have to run those 15 kilometers with all your merchant, with all, everything you brought with you, all your belongings. That you have to run. But difficult to understand. If a Yid is told that if you leave right now, you're going to save half the Klal Yisrael. These Yidden who made the trip up here, they're all Tamei, they're not going to be able to bring Korban Pesach until they'll have to all come back again. What a schlep. We need one person to volunteer to leave. And the Gemara seems to believe that there's not one person in the entire nation of Israel who's prepared to do the right thing and leave to save millions of other Yidden. Difficult to understand what Shmuel is actually saying here. He doesn't believe that there's one Yid who is altruistic enough or will be generous enough or selfless enough to give up his Yom Tov so that he can save everybody else from having to come a second trip to Pesach Sheni. I don't understand this Gemara at all. But anyway, let's continue. Obviously, Ula thinks there's no problem finding somebody. And Shmuel thinks practically nobody's going to want to do it. Nobody's going to volunteer. Okay, now, remember when it comes to Tumah, the only Tumah that matters that we say we suspend for Pesach is the Tumah of Mace, but not the Tumah of Zov and Zavah. Here we have another case now. Itman we learned, Hayoru bin Zovin, the majority, everyone was Tumah. Everyone was Tumah. But the majority of people were Tumah because they were a Zov, and a few were Tumah because of Tumah Mace. Now the Zovin, there's no laws of suspension, they have to wait till Pesach Sheni. But there are only a few Tumah Mace. So, Amar Rav says Rav, Oysen Tamei Meisim, the few who are Tamei Meis, are in trouble. Why are they in trouble? Ein Oysen Lebedishim, they cannot bring the first Pesach because the Tamei Meis are only a minority. We don't suspend the rules. But in V'loi B'Sheni, nor can they go Pesach Sheni. Why? Because only if a majority of the people brought the Pesach Rishon, that enables the minority to bring Pesach Sheni. But because nobody brought Pesach Rishon, there's nothing to push off anybody to Pesach Sheni. So the Tamei Meis, so all of them, they don't bring at all in Pesach Sheni. Says the Gemara, what do you call it? So nobody brings Pesach Sheni, because since nobody brought Pesach Rishon, nobody brings Pesach Sheni. Says the Gemara, Rishon, Avdi, Avimuta, they're minority, Muta, Avdi, Ibidish, they cannot bring the first one. But b'sheni I love thee, nor can the Tamei Meis bring in the second Pesach. Kol heicha da'avdi, because it says in Pasuk, ish. Kol heicha da'avdi tzipur b'rishon, when there's a group of people doing it in the first Pesach, avid yachid b'sheni. So then the minority brings it in Pesach sheni. But kol heicha da'avdi tzipur b'rishon, where the first group does not bring the Pesach, then la'avid yachid b'sheni, then the individuals cannot bring it. Since nobody brought Pesach rishon, you cannot bring Pesach sheni. Amal Shmuel said, what do you mean? So you're completely canceling Pesach. Zilav Amal Abba, go tell Abba. Abba was either his name or Abba was a term of endearment about Rav. But it says in the clip, Pasuk, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael as a Pesach b'mode. The Eden should make the Pesach in its right time. So what are you telling me? That nobody brings Pesach Rishon. So he says back to him, like this. What do you call it? Says back to Rav. So Rav says back to him. Omelu. So Rav says back to Metzger. Zilu. Omelu. Go tell Shmuel. What would be if Klal Yisrael, everyone was tummy, but not tumas mes, but tumas zav? And we said there's no laws of suspension regarding that. So what happens? Nobody brings a carbon. And you'll agree. Elokim le'efshe le'efshe. What should you do? You can't bring a carbon because there's no laws of suspension. Hachanami le'efshe. Here too, you have no breda. Even though some of them are tummy mes, what can you do? That's how it is. It will be learned. What about how you Reuben tamei mace? And the other way around, majority of the people were tamei mace, umiyutin zav, and there were a few people who were zav. What happens then? Rav Huna says, ain't tashlumin lepesach habo betuma. So Rav Huna says, if the majority of the people were tamei mace, that means they brought on the first Pesach, because we suspended the laws of tuma. Says Rav Huna, so therefore, the Zavin, who on the one hand cannot bring Pesach Rishon because their tumah is not suspended, so their tumah, they cannot walk into the Beis HaMikdash, they cannot participate, and they have to wait till Pesach Sheni. They don't have a Pesach Sheni. Ain't, we'll soon see why. Ain't tashlumin lepesach hababa tumah. If the people who brought the first Pesach brought it because they were tummy, then it does not push off the minority of Zavin to Pesach Sheni. And Rav Abba says, why not? Yes, tashlumin lepesach hababa tumah. What's going on here? So the Neymar, let us say, the argument is as follows. That the argument is, we hold that the only time you have a Pesach Sheni is if people who were Toyer brought Pesach Rishon. So the question is, how do you view, when we suspend the laws of Tumah and we say, okay, bring Pesach Rishon, do we view them as Toherin or do we view them as Tameim, but we still allow them to bring? If you hold Tumah Dechuya, that Tumah is pushed away, is overridden, which really means that there's still Tameh, then there was no Tahir in Pesach Rishon. There's nothing, because the Pasuk says, Ish, you know, a person, only individuals Tameh. But everyone, but the people who brought up were all Tahir. But the people who brought up themselves in Pesach Rishon were Tameh, there's nothing to push them to Pesach Sheni. And the other view says, no, Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, which means there is no Tumah. It's as if they were all Tahirin, and therefore the minority of Zavin does bring Pesach Sheni. That's the Machlekes. So name of Bogum, that's the argument. Man, ain't Tashlum le Pesach, Baba Tumah, Ksavar Hol, Tumah Duchi, but Tzibah, Tumah is only overridden, and therefore their Tameh and Tameh cannot push off people to the Pesach Sheni. Man, Dama, the one who says, Yes, Tashlum le Pesach, Baba Tumah, that there is, they can make it a Pesach Sheni, Ksavar Hol, Tumah, Hutu, but Tzibah. There's no Tumah at all, as if they're all Tahir. Now, and the problem is, because we learned before that the majority of the opinions hold the Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. Says Yimara Amri, everyone holds Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. Everyone holds the Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. So what's the argument? Hopefully, this is the argument. Whether you have the only Tahirin push away the minority to Pesach Sheni, or I don't care if they're Torah Tumah, those if people brought Pesach Rishon, then it pushes away others to Pesach Sheni. But if, as we said before, Rav said, if nobody brings Pesach Rishon, then no one gets pushed off the Pesach Sheni. Tahoyda madche tumah lematchaya. Everyone agrees that Tahoyda pushes away and not tumah. Above us, mar sava rafil tumah nami mechaya. And the other one holds no, that even though I don't care why, on what basis they brought Pesach Rishon, I don't care if they're all tummy. If the law says they can bring it, therefore they push off other people to Pesach Sheni. Itma we learned. Next scenario. What about how you shalishis and zavin, a third of Klal Yisrael were tummy zav. Shlishis tohid, a third of Klal Yisrael were tohid. The shlishis and tummy mace, a third of them was tummy mace. So 2/3 were tummy, and 1/3 was tohid. But the 2/3 were tummy could not bring Pesach Rishon because the zavin, there's no laws of suspension of tummy by zavin, only by tumas mes. So the tumi mes could not have brought the first Pesach because they were only a minority. But when it comes to Pesach Sheni, it looks like the majority of the Jews are being pushed to Pesach Sheni, and we know you don't push away a majority, only a minority. So what happens here? Paradox. So he says here, Amar Mani Bar Patish, Oysen Tmei Meisin, the people of Tmei Meis, Einan Oysen, they don't do, Lo Yisadisha, Lo Yisadisha, they cannot do the first one. Why? Because we will add the zavin to the tohid. The zavin do not, you don't bunch together the zavin and tumei meis, because the zavin is a different kind of tumor altogether. There's no laws of suspense there. So we add the zavin to tohid, and the fact that tumei meis are minority, so they are not able to bring Pesach Rishon. Because zavin don't do anything but tumei. Have like tumei meis and miyutah. So tumei meis now are a minority, and a minority does not do in the first Pesach. What about Besheni? Okay, why don't they now bring Pesach Sheni? So now if you combine, the fact is the majority of the people did not bring Pesach Rishon. The law of the Rishon have the Ruben, not their majority. And the majority between the Zovin and Tmei Mesim, the both of them couldn't bring Pesach Rishon for different reasons. You combine the two together, they're majority, and the majority don't get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Okay, now we continue the Mishnah. We're talking about the tzitz. The tzitz works only if you did not know that it was tummy until later. We're going to learn that a tzitz takes care of the blood of the animal as tummy, but the evidence all right. But not if the person is tummy. But we learn a new concept they call tumas ha-tahoim. Tahoim means the upgrund, or the very underneath the wells under the ground. Tumas ha-tahoim means there was a tumor that no one in the world was aware that this tumor existed. Yet you found that afterwards. And here the halacha l'meishim m'sinai is that a person was tummy, and normally tzitz does not work on it. But in this case, the tzitz will work on it. Either tzitz will work on it, the machlek is whether tzitz will work on it, or just be'etzim, the Torah makes a kasuv that it does not become tummy. So Mishnah. HaPesach, the Korban Pesach, Shenizik Domei, you already sprinkled the blood, not aware that there was any tumor involved. And afterwards you found out, Shehu Tamei, afterwards you found out that the animal was Tamei, or the blood was Tamei. That's where the tzitz steps in. HaTzitz Meratze, the tzitz comes in and fixes it all up. What about Nitma Haguf, if the person found out that he was Tamei afterwards? Ein hatzitz meratze. The tzitz does not in any way remove the tumah of the person. Why? Could we say the rule is regarding a nozir and regarding someone who makes a pesach? Mar meratze al tumas ha-dam. If the person brought the carbon and after he sprinkled, he found out that the blood was tameh or that the animal was tameh, the tzitz will do its function. But it will not in any way fix up if the person turned out to be tameh. He didn't realize it, but he found out afterwards that when they sprinkled the blood, he was already tamei. Then the tzitz will not be meratza tumas aguf. He has to by a nazir start all over again, and by korban pesach, his korban is disqualified. What about if his guf became tamei tumas atahim? Let's say a tumah that you were not that nobody knew, not that you didn't know, nobody knew that it existed. Then halacha merzin. In this case, the tzitz will do its function and the korban will be valid. Comes halacha l'meishim m'sinai that tumas hatoim was permitted. Says the Gemara, a tumas hatoim, like when you're living at home and underneath the rocks of your house, there was a dead body. You had no idea. Nobody knew there was a dead body buried there years ago. Says the Gemara, time, but then, so you're telling me the only reason is since you sprinkled the blood already, and the achekach noida, and afterwards, after you sprinkled the blood, you found out that the animal was tamei, so we say the tzitz does its work. Avol noida v'achekach nizek, what about if you already knew that the animal was tamei, but you told the kohen, you know what, continue, and go ahead and sprinkle the blood. Loi meratze. Then, you deliberately went ahead and sprinkled the blood. After it was tummy, the tzitz will not work. The tzitz only works according to this opinion. The tzitz will only work is if you weren't aware. V'shagig. But Amin, I'll ask you a question. It says in the Braisa, Ma hatzitz meratze. It says, what does the tzitz do its job? Al adam, if the blood is tummy. Al abasar, if the meat is tummy. Al achelim, on the fats, and that goes in the zbech, shnitma. And it says that bein b'shegig, bein b'mezit. Sounds like even if you deliberately decided to sprinkle the blood, it'll work. Bein b'ayin, maybe that's whether you were forced or whether you did willingly. Bein b'yachav, bein b'tzibur, communal carbon or private carbon. Clearly from here, we see, it seems to me clearly that it works even b'mezit. Amar Ravina says, we'll have two ways of learning. Ravina says, you read it wrong. As long as you were not aware, I don't care how it became tameh, whether the animal became tameh b'shegig, or whether the animal became tameh, somebody deliberately is metameh, as long as when you sprinkled the blood, you were not aware, and then you only found out afterwards that tzitz does its job. The tumah of the animal, bein b'shegig b'mezid, hurtze. But zrikasa, if you sprinkle the blood and you were aware already that it's tameh, the tzitz will not do his job. You should not have sprinkled the blood. Zrikasa b'shegig hurtze, only did by mistake, but b'mezid hurtze, not if he did it on purpose. Comes along, Rab Sheila disagrees. He says, no. He says, the other way around. I don't care, I take the price literally, I don't care how you spray it, even if you knew that it was tameh, the tzitz will take care of it. So what does the price mean? So, but the Mishnah says clearly only if you weren't aware. What the Mishnah meant was, and when is there a difference between shegig and mezid? The Mishnah sounds like only if you didn't know. It's talking about how the animal became tummy. The Mishnah is not talking about that at all. The Mishnah, he says, if an animal became tameh b'shegig, then even if you went ahead deliberately and you sprinkled, the tzitz will do its job. It comes to sprinkling. Even if you did it deliberately, the tzitz is going to do its job and remove the tumah, and you can go ahead. Tumasai, the question is how it became tameh in the first place. Tumasai b'shegig hurtza. If it was b'shegig, it'll work. If you made a tameh in the first place, the animal or the blood, deliberately, then the tzitz won't do its job. But if it happened inadvertently, then even if you go ahead and you deliberately sprinkle the blood, knowing that it's tameh, the tzitz allows you to. Aisa hakom the mish el hodiktoni. It says bein b'shegig bein b'mezid. When it says I don't care b'shegig mezid, he says it means how it became tummy. How come on? Nitma b'shegig. It means not how it became tummy, but how you sprinkled. If the animal became tummy b'shegig, then v'zerkin you sprinkled it bein b'shegig mezid hutzah. I don't care how. So the Gemara says, how's he learn the Mishnah? The Mishnah clearly says that if you sprinkled the blood and afterwards you found out, only then it's permitted. And according to you, even if you knew before it's permitted, says the Gemara of Hodotani, says in the Mishnah, Dam shenizrik, if it was sprinkled, v'achekach noidin, afterwards you became aware, then it's all right. Sounds like time with the nizrik noidin. The only reason why it's effective is because you weren't aware at the time. Sounds from the Mishnah, avol noidin, we can infer, avol noidin, v'achek nizrik, if you were aware beforehand, and then you spray the blood, loy. Question on Rav Shaila, says the Gemara, no, Rav Shaila says, who adin makes no difference. Afilu noida v'achen izik, even if you knew. And then you sprinkle the blood, it's the same outcome, which is the tzitz will do its job. So why is the Mishnah talk about a case where you were not aware? The Mishnah could have said a bigger chiddush. Even if you were aware, it's still valid. The Haidik Tani Nizik, why the Mishnah talks about Nizik v'achen noida, that you sprinkled it and after you found out? Because the boy and the Mishnah Sefer want to tell you the end. Nitma haguf, if the goof became tameh. The Mishnah finishes off, but the tzitz has no bearing on you personally. If you became tamei and you weren't even aware, the tzitz will not do his job. And here the chiddush is that even though you weren't aware, it's not that you knew when you went, you did not know that you were tamei. So luchayda, you would think the tzitz definitely should enable the carbon to be kosher. It says no. So that's why we talk about a case of b'dieved, not to teach you the part where it is good, because there it makes no difference. Even the chatchili you can. It's to teach you that when it comes to you personally, if you became tamei, then even b'dieved, it's not your fault. Doesn't matter. Tzitz will not in any way make it better. Ain't it tzitz I feel neither can do like it doesn't help. Also, that's what the Reisha talks about, a case that it happened, but the Chiddush is really regarding the Sefer, where the tzitz does not work, even in a case where it wasn't your fault and you had no idea, the tzitz will not work. Okay, now we'll talk a little bit about the Tumas HaTahayim. Says the Gemara, Nitma Tumas HaTahayim. If the Tumas HaTahayim happened, Halacha Moshe Mesinai, no one in the world knew that you told me, even though normally if you tell me the tzitz don't do anything, but in this case the tzitz will do. Ask you a question. Boy Rami Bachama comes along. Rami Bachama asks an interesting question. What about this law of Tumas HaTahayim? We said of the owner of the animal was tummy, but he had no idea, and there was no one in the world who knew there was Tumas sitting under that rock. Then the tzitz will do his job. What about the kohen who shechts, or the kohen who's involved in that void? Do we make the same rule if he turned out to be tummy, or Tumas HaTahayim? Do we also suspend the rules or not? So, Boy Rami Bachama, kohen. What about the kohen who's involved in the korban? Turned out to be that it was tameh or tumas hatahayim. The question is, hutra loy tumas hatahayim. What about for him? Do we also allow the tumas hatahayim? And we say that the pesach is all right. Oy loy. As far as the kohen is concerned, it doesn't work. Mi amnin. Do we say ki gemidi tumas hatahayim? When do we allow the rules of tumas hatahayim? Halacha Moshe Mesinai only the bailim, only the owner, because that's halacha Moshe Mesinai. The koyin like midi, but not when it comes to the koyin for him. The fact is he's tamei, and the tzitz generally does not affect, remove, or ameliorate the tumah at all. As far as the person is concerned, so far the koyin, there's no tumah at time, and therefore the koyin is not valid. Idilma bezvacha gemide. It's not so much about the person who became tamei. It's more about the carbon. That tumas hatahayim will not render the carbon possible, even if one of the people there became tamei. So I don't care if it's a kohen, the owner, whoever it is who became tamei. Bezvacha gemide has to do with the carbon when it comes to carbon pesach. And by a carbon nazir, we mentioned before, we have the rule of tumas hatahayim, and therefore lo yishlo b'kohen b'alei. It's all about the carbon, and I don't care who it is. It's the owner of the carbon, one of the owners, or whether it's the kohen. If it's tumas hatahayim, a tumah that no one's aware of, we are going to forego it, and it's not a problem. And the animal will be kosher. Which one is it? Amar Rav says Rava. Toshma commented, Tana Abchir said, Abchir made a comment, and let's see how we can understand this comment. He said, La'omru tumas atuhim. We limit the rule of tumas atuhim, which is permitted by a nozer of Pesach, elo lemeis bovad. We only allow it for a tumah to do with a corpse, but not other tumas. And other tumas, we don't have the rule of tumas atuhim to allow the Korban Pesach. Now the question is, what tumas are we talking about? What's he trying to exclude? Mei bilvat, mei is lemuti mai, lemuti. Mai lav, isn't it lemuti tumas atuhim to sheretz? He's coming to say that only for corpse. But let's say you became tumay from tumas sheretz. There, tumas hatohim doesn't make a difference. The fact is, you're tumay and the tzitz won't kick in. So let's understand. Over my asking, what are we talking about? Remember, we had before an argument that if somebody who's tumay from a sheretz, which that night he's already toil, if he goes to the mikveh during the day, he's toil. According to one opinion, he could participate in the Korban Pesach, because at the time of shchita, he's not qualified. Doesn't matter, as long as the time of eating he is. According to other opinion, he cannot participate in Korban Pesach, because right now, the shchita, he's not qualified. So let's just see which way we go. Umay, what are we talking about? The skin. E, name of the bailim. Are we talking about the owner of the animal? Uvaman. And which animal are we talking about? Ibn Nazim. If it's a Nazim. If it's a nozer, then even if he became Tomei Sheretz, and even though the tzitz did nothing, and even if he did not remove the Tomei Sheretz, a Tomei Sheretz, if a nozer becomes Tomei by touching a Sheretz, he does not cancel the days that he did till now. The only time we say to the nozer, your whole Naziris falls away, you got to start all over again, is only if it's Tumas Mes, as the Pasuk says. So suddenly a mace dies. Not by Sheretz, so who cares? Ibn Nazim Mimahani, but it have any effect? Kiyomus mace all of Amrachman. Tell us clearly only suddenly a mace died in Pesapisan. So we're not talking about a Nazir. Elaba Isa Pesach, what about a Korban Pesach? So you're telling me that what? A Korban Pesach, that if the person became Tomei Tumas Sheretz, even though he wasn't aware of it, nobody could have known, is under a rock forever, a fossil, who knows, then. What do you call it? Then he's still Tomei. But remember, according to one opinion, who cares? Because at night, he's tired anyway. He goes to the mikveh during the day. At night, he's tired. He could participate in the Korban Pesach. Who needs a Tumas HaTohim suspension? Who needs any of that? He's anyway qualified. Unless you learn, according to the opinion, that he's not qualified to be a member of the Korban Pesach. So then we need the Tumas HaTohim. The Loch Mashin, I say, look, even though this guy right now is Tumas Sheretz, but we're going to allow it because of the tzitz. Okay, it makes sense. Right, that's what we think. Comes along Rav Chiya and says, no, that Tumas HaTohim only allows the Tumah of a corpse, not the Tumah of a Sheretz. Makes a difference. But El Man Dom, according to other opinion that we learned, Sheikhtin, Vizorkin, Altmei Sheretz, that he could participate with the Korban anyway, regardless. So who cares? Who needs Tumas HaTohim? He can participate anyway. So what does Rav Chiya mean to say that this Tumas HaTohim only applies to a corpse and not to something else? What is the something else? Hashta Tumah, you do a Hutulay, even if you know 100% that he's Tumas Sheretz, he can still participate in the Korban Pesach, because at night he's able to eat, and that's sufficient. Is Tumas HaTohim Goshkein, so if he wasn't aware of his tummy, who cares? If sure it's all right. Ella laughs, right? And the Gemara assumes, we're not talking about the owner, we're talking about the Koyin. And what Abchi is saying here is that if it's the Koyin who was shechting or doing the Avoida, transporting the blood or sprinkling, later on found out he was tummy, and even though it was a tumah that no one was aware of, it was a tumah satayim, we're not going to suspend it. We'll say the Korban Pesach is not good. And yet, it seems that the tumah satayim is all right. Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, so what I want to prove that we're talking about a coin. Says the Gemara, no, that's not what we're talking about at all. Why not? I mean, you have no proof here one way or another. And okay, so what are we saying here? That Rav Chiya says the only thing that's excluded is Tumas Sheretz, but Tumas Mace is effective. And who we're talking about? We're talking about the coin, that Tumas Sheretz by the coin. It ruins the animal, which means for everybody else it's all right. Which means that that means that they're talking about a coin, but Tumas Mace is all right. So we see clearly from here that Tumas Mace for a coin. Your question was whether the Tumas HaTohim about for a corpse regarding a coin is also is the tzitz allows it. Clearly, it does. Says Gemara, no proof. Gemara Yosef, no. Who said we're talking about a coin? La'olam be'bailim. We're talking about the owners, not talking about a kohen. We don't know what the law of a kohen. Maybe there's no tumas to talking about a kohen. And so what's Rabbi Chiya trying to tell us? What he's trying to negate? Uber Pesach. Ulamute, you thought he's coming to exclude tumas sheres. No. Ulamute tumas atahim de ziva. He's coming to tell you that by a ziva, if they have an omission, then the tumas atahim will not take care of that. Says the tumas atahim, that the tzitz will not in any way remove the tumas if it was a tumas zav and they weren't aware until much later. Now, quickly, there's a zav is somebody who has a ziva by a woman outside the normal cycle. If she sees one day, she has to have one clean day to make sure there's no blood. If she sees 2 days, then she has to have one clean day. If she sees 3 days, then she's tameh for 7 days. So we're talking about a tumah of a ziva, and it's telling you that if she's tameh, the tumah, and she didn't know until after they sprinkled the blood, you should know, Rav Chiya says, that the tumah satayim is not going to work over here. The tzitz is not going to help her. It ruins the whole Karm Pesach. So for her, it says, if the owner doesn't, it ruins it. So Gemara, but Tanya, didn't we learn? Tumas tohaim de ziva lemerasi. He told me it doesn't work. But Tanya, Rabbi Yisik says clearly, shemeres yem kineged yem. A woman who is waiting a whole day that no blood should come. That's called a shemeres yem. She's watching, she's vigilant over 1 day, corresponding to the day that she saw. What happens? She shachtu v'zarkola b'sheini shalom. So let's say 1 day she saw, the next day she's waiting, you know, sorry, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she hadn't seen anything yet. Does she know for a fact that she won't see later? No. But right now she didn't see. There's no reason to think that she will see. That's called Tumas HaTahim, because at this moment, it's impossible for anyone to know that she will become tummy. That's the definition of Tumas HaTahim, that no one knew. She also didn't know. Will she see blood again? She didn't know. There's no Tumas HaTahim. And then it says, V'achikach Rosa, so she shechted the animal, and then afterwards she saw. So retrospectively, she never was clean. It means at the time when they sprinkled, turned out to be that she was tummy. Einoi cheles, she doesn't eat, obviously, because now she is tummy, because now she has to wait another day, so that night she cannot eat. But, uptur melasa Pesach Sheni, she does not have to make a Pesach Sheni. So what does he clear from here? Why not? Because she was yaitze with this carbon. Now why was she yaitze? Because it's tumas hatahim. At the time of sprinkling the blood, she had no idea that she'll become tummy. That's tumas hatahim. So we see that there is tumas hatahim. Even by a ziva, what did Tamar Abchi is coming to exclude ziva from Tumas HaTahim? He said we would rely on it. From look what Rabbi Yossi said. My time isn't the logic. Lamashon Demanasa Tzitz, because the Tzitz did its job at the time of the Tumas HaTahim. I'm resisting what I'm like, no. Interesting point. Let's say she's waiting the next day to see whether she'll see blood again or not. And then 4 o'clock in the afternoon she sees blood. What does that mean? That means the entire day you were tummy and anything she touched, all that was tummy? Or do we say that 4 o'clock? Your tumor starts again. But till 4, you were all right. And that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying here. Rabbi Yossi holds, Mikan ulahabam, that's only Mikan ulahabam tameh. And that's why the Karm Pesach is a valid carbon, because at the time she was totally tired. 4 o'clock she became tameh, so from then on she's tameh. So that night she cannot eat. But she was tired at the time. Nothing to do with tumas, nothing to do with the tzitz doing his job. Said, but what are you talking about? It's not retrospective, but Tanya, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi himself said, Zov, a male. A male sees once, has to watch 1 day. A male sees twice, has to watch 7 days. Even sees twice the same day, has to watch 7 days. He sees 3 times, and you have to bring carbon as well. Zov bal shteiri, a zov from 2 see. It's right. Sheshachtu v'zorku olav b'shvishlo. On his 7th day, they shechted. Now he has to monitor the 7th day, make sure he doesn't resume the zov again. So he has to monitor it. Va'achet kach ro, he saw the end. He was clean, everything else. He brought Pesach, then he saw. The Cheshem is young, and Yenshav is Orgla, B'Sheini, Shalav, Akash, Yisro, had Eilu, Metamin, Mishke, Moshe, Mafreya. Clearly, anything that they touched that day, even an hour before they saw, is Tameh. In other words, it is retrospective. So what possible logic is Rabbi Yitzchak saying here that you were Yitzchak to the Karm Pesach? Why is Karm Pesach? It must be because he holds that the tzitz did his job, because at the time he had no idea. Uptulaz, B'Sheini, Moshe says, no. Really, it's not retrospective at all, and that's why she is Yitzchak to the Karm Pesach. So how come this metame, everything that you touched, the mishke of a moshe, everything you touched before, ma'ile mafreya midrabbanon, it's only rabbinical that we say retrospective, but mehatoid it from now on. And therefore, by azov, why is it kosher the Karm Pesach? Because at the time, they were toher. But there is no tzitz tumas atahim by azov, like Rabbi Chiya says, and therefore we don't know, we still haven't resolved the question about a kohen. We'll continue tomorrow.